Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. This is Howard Cross. Our phone number today, 201-939-4513, as always. Or you can get us on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat, and we will be here for the next hour to take all of your questions and comments regarding the New York Football Giants, their game coming up Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in sunshiny Florida. Yes, it is raining and overcast here in New Jersey this afternoon. But it is going to be 80 degrees and sunny in Tampa on Sunday, and Tom Coughlin is looking forward to bringing his team down there, and Howard Cross, of course, is looking forward to being on the sidelines.
Yes, it's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. I'm going to enjoy it. It's perfect. I just need my golf clubs. Can't get that in, but, you know, got to do what we got to do.
All right. Hey, let's start talking about exactly what the Giants are doing this week quickly before we get to your questions and comments. Howard, it does look like all systems are go for the most part. Anything could happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. I get that. But JPP looks as though he is of a mindset that he's going to at least play some reps and some snaps on Sunday against the Buccaneers. Coach Coughlin said, even though he hasn't used any right-handed stance yet, they're going to fit him with a special glove. To this point, he's used a left-handed stance. He has lined up on both sides of the line. I would suspect he's probably going to do some stand-up stuff as well. JPP, even if he plays 8, 10, 12, 15 snaps, what do you think he can bring to this team?
I have no earthly idea. I'm not going to sit here and tell people that he's going to be great or anything, but I can tell you this. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. So adding a player who may be able to get pressure, it's just something you got to try to do. You know, I said earlier in the year I didn't know if he would ever play again. I just didn't know.
None of us did.
I didn't think he would ever. I wouldn't have even attempted to play again, but he wants to play. So if he wants to play and he gets a chance and he wants to figure out a way, who knows? Somebody may not block him. May get a sack. Or maybe he'll be able to use that hand, the good hand, and be able to make his moves. I have no idea what to expect.
I will say this. Just by putting him out there, and we seem to understand from talking to his teammates – and I'm talking about guys who are not talking on microphone either, but just amongst themselves, his quickness still seems to be there. Mm-hmm. His get off off the snap when he has used his left hand appears to be very sharp and quick. Mm-hmm. And he certainly is running pretty well. That hasn't been affected at all.
Yeah, because we got fresh legs.
Exactly.
Not tired.
Exactly. So if you're Jameis Winston and you see number 90 in the game, you got to be aware of him. At the very least, it puts something in Jameis Winston's mind.
No, I mean, I know you're a fan. I know you love the team. He played against J.J. Watt. He came out as a rookie and said, I can't wait to play against J.J. Watt.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the guy I want to play against. JPP was not on his radar. And, it, you know, even
well,
coming
back.
He
better be on Sunday. Number 90 could chase him down. His legs
are
fresh.
I hope that JPP comes in. If he gets to play, I hope he makes an impact right away. I'm looking forward, you know, for more than anything else, more than what he does for the team or anything for him personally, I'm hoping that he comes in and makes a play.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. And it doesn't even have to be a sack. It could be a hurry that turns into an interception.
Anything, just so he can, you know, just if he wants to come back and play, I'm just hoping that he has some success physically, that he can actually do it. And I want to see him, you know, be able to, you know, salvage his career and go ahead and go on with his career.
I'll tell you this, his teammates are really rooting for him.
So everybody does, is.
Yeah,
it's a tough moment. I'm rooting for him, too.
Sure. Hey, otherwise, we've learned that Owe Odighizuwa has been placed on temporary injured reserve today with a sore hamstring. The Giants necessitated that move because they needed a roster spot for tight end Jerome Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Cunningham has been activated. Larry Donnell, you recall last week, Howard, banged his neck.
Okay.
In the game, and he was unable to practice yesterday. Don't know if he's going to be able to practice today. They're out there now while we're in the studio. But the Giants, given that they may be short at tight end, felt the need to bring Cunningham up.
Well, they have to, you know, the tight end position on the team, you got one fullback. And right now, I think you have one healthy tight end.
So
yeah, so you got to bring somebody in to kind of, you know, fill the gap. You can't go through the whole game with just the one player. It's just it's impossible.
Yeah, so Odighizuwa, who has suffered foot and hamstring injuries so far as a rookie, now is out for a minimum of 6 weeks. The Giants would be able to bring him back. They use their one temporary IR move on him. Mm-hmm. So that means rule that out with Cruz. I mean, a lot of people have been saying about Victor Cruz, should you put him on temporary IR?
I would have done it.
That's not an option anymore.
I know.
You know,
I would have done it a long time ago. I mean, like I said again, with Cruz, nothing against Cruz, but as I look around the league, when I see people with that injury, that calf injury, it's a iffy, sketchy thing, and no one's, you know. I've been talking to some docs recently at the hospital special surgery. I'm like, so what's the deal with it? They're like, dude, it's around the league. No one knows yet. So the wow. next, the guy who figures it out, he's going to make some scratch. He's going to do okay for himself.
So Cruz is still not practicing. His availability undetermined. Principal Kamara is the other guy we want to tell you about. He was practicing limited yesterday, did some stuff on the side, did some limited drills. They had a band on him because they didn't want him to raise his arm too high because of coming off of the pec.
Mm-hmm.
Coach said he was still doing it a little bit anyway, and he seemed to be doing well, but they're going to be very cautious with him. I would suspect, my gut feeling, based on the way Coach was talking, he'll be another week. I don't think he's going to be active on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully he's a couple weeks, you know, until they really need him. It's just tough when you have a pec or something that's pulled off. You don't want to, like, injure the muscle or injure the, have the injury get worse. Playing in the game, when you're playing, you have to put your hands up. And I did it to my shoulder. I had my shoulder tied where I could only go this high.
Right.
And every time the ball would go up or if something went out of place and your arm would go, yink, you'd be, okay, I'm not supposed to do that. But it's wow. it's hard to make your body not do that when you're playing.
Yeah, and the Giants certainly could use him. We understand that. They got gouged by Drew Brees last week. So the secondary would certainly love to have an injection of Princeton Mukamara. But Howard's right, because usually when you hear about these pec injuries, 9 times out of 10 you hear about surgery. Mm-hmm. He's avoided that, at least to this point.
God bless him.
You know,
man,
so
tough guy, tough
if
guy.
It means another week or two to get him back, you do it.
He's a tough guy. You got to like that.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of last week, I think fans are probably like, what happened? How did the game get like that? I said, you know, it's Sean Payton. Like, the thing that people don't acknowledge about Sean Payton, he kind of does what works and he just keeps going after it. We played in the championship game against the Minnesota Vikings. We turned on the tape. We watched the tape and we said, oh, we can score 100 points on them. And that's kind of the thing. So that's kind of how he views it. It's nothing wrong with what's going on in the game. He just sees it, and that's why he was going after it.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to start with AJ in South Carolina. You're first on the show. Hello.
I'll take my call.
Sure.
Last two games, he hit the
white hose. Yeah, Orleans Darkwa played, I think his back or something was sore.
Believe it or not, remember the goal line play that he was involved in? He told me that he got whacked on the tailbone.
Oof.
And that's a very painful thing, Howard. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I've slipped and fallen and banged my tailbone.
So have I.
And it's like one of those things where you're like, ah, oh, I'm like, what happened to me? Did I break my back? The doctor's like, it's your tailbone. I'm like, that much pain? And then it's a horrible thing to feel.
Yeah.
You can't move. You can't stretch it. It's kind of like hurting your pinky toe. It's like something that's there that you like don't think that much of, but when it happens,
it feels like someone's taking a screwdriver and just jamming it as hard as they can right to the bottom of your spine.
And doing this,
it's not fun. but I will tell you, I saw Orleans yesterday. I think he's progressing well. He's optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, let me stress to you, for all the people who are anxious to see him more in the backfield, he has done such a good job on special teams this year for this team.
Yeah, but
that's where they really miss him.
Yes. Yes and no, they miss him on special teams, but if they can get a boost in the running game, that's what everybody's waiting for.
That helps too.
Yep.
Anything else?
JPP, is he on the roster?
He is right now on the exemption list, which means the Giants have 2 full games where they can practice with him and don't have to touch their roster if they don't want to. It's up to them. It's strictly optional whether or not he plays this week. Now, after this week's game, Howard,
mm-hmm.
that's when it gets sticky because now they've got to make a move. They don't have a choice anymore. There's no exemption. It's a 2-game exemption. This is game number 2.
Ooh. That's
I know that you're supposed to have cut somebody. JPP is on the active roster.
Well, yeah, if they want to activate him to the 53, then somebody does have to go down. That's either someone gets waived to the practice squad if he doesn't get claimed, somebody goes to injured reserve, or somebody's going to get cut. One way or the other, if you want to bring him back to the 53, somebody's spot's going to go.
Absolutely. Thank you, AJ, for that with the JPP in there. That's awesome.
Appreciate it. Okay, Andre from Hartford, Connecticut. You're next on the show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Pretty good.
All right. I just had a quick question about John Beeson, where he's at right now.
He's not going to practice today.
Do you have any injury update on him? Now make my comment.
Yeah, he's got a knee issue, which, as he has said, they're going to try to manage on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis. You know, a couple weeks ago, he went into the game with barely any practice at all and was only able to play about half the game. And now this past week, they flew him down to New Orleans, and Coach Coughlin, usually, if a guy doesn't have a chance to play, he doesn't make the trip, Howard. You know that.
That's true, yeah.
Injured guys stay home.
Absolutely.
Well, he did fly to New Orleans. They thought there was a chance, but then the morning of the game, it was decided not to play him, so he was a scratch. This week, he has not practiced, and Coach Coughlin did not seem to indicate that there was anything different this week. So I suppose it'll be another game-time decision.
Well, your knee is kind of banged up and swollen. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with his, but I played through it my last 2 years in the league. It is not – it's a, you know, a day-to-day thing. They try to, you know, limit your practice to try to reduce the swelling and give you a chance to play on the weekend. Don't know what he's going through, but I can tell you that it is not a happy moment to be involved in.
Yeah, I just think that with Victor Cruz, nobody expected that. JPP, nobody really expected that, but we kind of – knew going into the season that John Beeson hasn't really been there for us. And I think with the linebacker core, you're looking at it, and it's just a mixed bunch consistently every week. And I thought that John Beeson, they didn't address his position in the offseason, and you're starting to see it fluctuate right now where the defense is.
I think that what happened in the offseason with John Beeson is that you go into the offseason with hopes that he's going to be better, and he was getting better all offseason. They're looking at him and looking at his progress. My thing is that I tell people all the time, you can see players getting older from the moment that they step on the field. You just have to let go with what you hope is going to happen. Some guys look great. I mean, he works out like a demon. He's in great physical shape. He looks the part. You don't know what he's going to actually go through until you start banging on each other and start having actual contact. Unfortunately, there is a limited amount of contact that you can have coming into a season. So you don't know what these players are going to give you, not just the Giants players, but players around the league. If a guy really fights to come back, gets himself ready to go, but he's never getting hit or bounced around in practice getting ready for the season, and you're like trying to hold him out, you're going to find out right when the season starts. So you're betting against you're betting against health, and you're betting against Father Time.
Yeah, I just felt like he was consistently not being consistent. So it felt like they needed to address that position, knowing that he's a guy that, you know, hasn't been able to be on the field. He's a good player, but just hasn't been able to be on the field. So they just, kind of stuffed themselves short on that one.
Well,
thanks, guys. Thanks for the time.
No problem. I think also when people think about that, you think the middle linebacker – you got to think what the need was for the team. They were more interested in, not more interested, but may have been a greater need at trying to get offensive linemen and getting the offensive line secured last year. And they were doing that, and they kind of done it. The little bits and pieces, first round draft pick, it kind of worked out for them. But the linebacker core been a touchy spot for the Giants for a few years.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, Howard, I think the Giants knew that there were a number of holes that had to be filled this past offseason, mm-hmm. and you only can fill so many in that given period of time.
You got to be really, really, really fortunate in the drafts. Like, some guys show up like a six-round draft pick that plays 13 seasons. And then you have other guys that their first-round picks they don't play but maybe a year or two. So you just never know.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone callers, and we will go to James from Ecuador. Hello, you're next on the show. James, are you there? Hello, James.
Hello.
James, we're going to have to let you go. Maybe you can give us a call back, but there was a lot of echo on your line, and I think we lost you.
He may have had his radio up or screen up too loud.
All right. Sean from California, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
Hey, quick question. When Will Beatty comes back, do you see him regaining his left tackle spot? Are they going to keep Flowers there and maybe move him over to the right side and kind of shore up that right end?
I think this is a good question. I think this is a good question for Will Beatty himself. What will he do? I think, I don't know anything about his contract or anything like that, but most contracts are geared towards him playing left tackle. He gets the premium dollars. If he goes to right tackle, he makes less. So will he take less money to go to right tackle and play over there, or will he try to come back at left tackle? If it's me personally, and I'm kind of trying to control the situation, I think about the fact that I got three of my guys playing pretty well together. I keep those guys together, and I try to fit guys in on the other side. That's what they probably should do, but who knows?
Remember now, Beatty will be activated next week against the Patriots. His time for the exemption period that he has runs out after this week, and Coach Coughlin said he would not activate him for the Buccaneers already. He's already said that.
Okay, so
he won't be up this Sunday.
So we'll see if he comes back and he plays and if he's willing to go to right tackle.
Yeah, is that all?
I hope so, because I think they got a good thing going on that left side right now, and if they start messing with that, that could kind of throw a wrench into their progress.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the call.
Yep, they definitely have something going.
Howard, let me give you another scenario, and I think it's possible. We've seen Jeff Schwartz go in and out with an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
He left the game the other day. John Jerry had to come in for a little while. Then mm-hmm. Schwartz came back in. Yesterday, Schwartz was out on the bike at practice. He's been struggling with this ankle thing now for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you possibly consider either Jerry at right guard and just say, okay, look, you're healthy, so maybe you should just be in there? Would you consider maybe if Schwartz can't stay, you know, and hold down that spot, moving Newhouse into guard because he's played some of that in the NFL, and letting Beatty play the right tackle spot and having the Newhouse-Beatty combination on the right side?
Well,
is that possible?
You have two potential right guards in Jerry and Newhouse, and Beatty can play right tackle. That's kind of what they're going to have to lean towards. Schwartz, He's battling back from the ankle injury that he had last year.
And it keeps acting up.
Well, it was a bad injury.
Yeah.
And he came back from it. And everybody kind of glazed over the fact how bad the injury was. He, like, dislocated it or something like that. So it was a bad, bad moment. So if he's in and out, you got two guys that can play guard. You need those utility players. Get him at right tackle. It'll be okay. He'll be facing the weaker pass rusher. So that's a better spot for him in that moment. The problem is that people are going to say, well, you can't run the ball as effectively to the right side. Well, they're running left-handed anyway. They're running to the sides of Flowers. So nothing really prevents him from going over there. It's just going to be what the coaches decide to do.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 201-939-4513. Joey from Virginia is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Pete Dodge, Howard. How you guys doing today?
Very good.
Good. P-Dots, one quick question for you, buddy. I called a long time ago, and I told you about that story about my daughter. We were watching the mock drafts on Big Blue when John took Schreff off the board, and I gave you my prediction of Eli with 40 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I'm not that far off, buddy, at the halfway point.
You know, Eli, I will tell you, is just having a stellar season. And look, I will never doubt this guy because he works as hard as any quarterback I've ever seen. He's a real study wart. He's got a great attitude. He does everything he can to coach up his receivers above and beyond what the coaches do. So, you know, to ever put limits on what Eli's going to do is just foolish because he's that kind of guy. So good for him.
I think Eli's doing well. I think, you know, McAdoo's offense is kind of coming into play. I think that it's kind of funny because if you think about it, he said he wanted him to be a 70% completion guy, and everybody kind of like, you're right. Now he's getting closer and closer to that number.
67%, I think, this year.
It's one of those things where, you know, like if you fall into a system that really works and you have a guy that can do it, not to mention you have receivers that can actually catch the ball, He might have that chance.
And you know, Joey, the thing that's really a little bit surprising about it is that the Giants' running game has been inconsistent. And usually, you know, you want that run game to help set up the pass. Everybody pretty much knows Eli's going to be throwing it. Yeah. And he's still getting it done.
Well, it's one of those things where they've made the pass the forefront, the basis of the entire offense, yeah. Whereas, you know, play action pass, how are we going to do this? They're like, yeah, forget all that. We're going to run. We're going to pass the ball no matter what. You stop us from passing. We'll sprinkle in the run every once in a while to keep you honest, but we're going to throw the ball. And the no-huddle offense that they're running, I don't think people realize how big that is. It's not really even no-huddle. It's more of this muddle huddle where Eli never really goes into the huddle. He never really takes time to get the guys up. They're calling the play in from the sideline. He's listening to the play. He gets his options, and all of a sudden they start to run the play. The problem that gives other teams is you can't get your personnel in and off the field because their guys, they already know. So if one guy just runs on the field and one guy steps off, you don't know who ran on, who ran off. It's a tough moment for teams to handle that. It's like running a two-minute offense but not really running it for the entire game.
And I hate to tell you, but if Victor Cruz had been healthy all season, his numbers might be better.
There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of ifs.
Go ahead. Anything else?
I mean, that leads us to another question,
sure.
Paul and Howard, is that, you know, there are some free agents out there right now. You know, there's really no big names left, and I understand why the Giants didn't make any of the trades. Or, you know what, I couldn't say that they probably made the phone calls, and we all know in the NFL trades fall through. But do you think right now that there's anybody out there, like maybe the guy, I think his name is Wingo, I'm not sure, he was the first round pick of them or a third round pick that they had in Cleveland. He is a pass rusher.
Mingo.
You know,
M-I-N-G-O.
They may be looking for a sixth, seventh round pick for
it's
him.
Too late.
I mean, because the pass rush has been so dismal.
Yeah, but Joey,
I mean,
the
do you
trade
think somebody like that might be worth it just to take a look at because it can't hurt at this
Joey,
point.
The trade deadline's over. It passed a couple days ago. You can't, to talk about it's pointless because the trade deadline's passed.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Howard. I mean, but do you think like all right? Well, now if you go, I know our offense is clicking on all cylinders right now, but you can never have enough. And now with you know, we don't know when Danella's going to be back. Do you think maybe I know the draw? I mean, people might think I'm crazy, but do you think it would be worth it to try to bring in Chris Cooley for a league, you know, veteran minimum, or bring in Wes Walker because we really don't know when Victor's coming back?
I think that you're falling in love with names. I think that those names,
you're right.
The reason why they're out and no one's calling them is because they need to be out. It's a funny thing how the league works. A great example would be like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is the only player that I'm watching in the league that he shouldn't be playing basketball, but they're paying him $25 million, right? They're like, you know, we're honoring his name, what he gave to the organization. Yeah, but that's money that you could be using to get players in that can actually play. And in most cases, everybody's not Kobe Bryant. So when your time is done, they let you go.
Yeah,
Joey,
right.
Thanks for the call. We'll see you again down the road. Thank you so much. Hey, but before I get to Andrew here, Howard, the point that you make all the time is about how guys are on the street for a reason. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's production. Sometimes it's money. There are a lot of reasons why a guy is still on the street midway through a year. But I will say this. In defense of the Wes Walker situation, who, quite frankly, I thought when they brought him in for a workout, if he passed the workout, they should have tried to find a way to sign him. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. But in their defense, there have been a number of teams, and I'm talking about guys who have lost starting wide receivers besides the Giants, and they haven't signed Wes Walker either.
It's a given thing. I tell people this all the time. If a player is on the street and it's the end of training camp, and no one's picked him up. And then fans are like, we should go after that guy. I'm like, he's on the street for a reason. 32 teams aren't just passing him up because they don't need him.
Don't you think, like, when Dez Bryant got hurt opening day against the Giants, you don't think the Cowboys could have used Wes Walker?
You know, I give you a great – forget about Wes Walker. I'm going to give you a great player. Hakeem Nicks. Good player.
He's still on the street.
Still on the street. Another player, my own Trent Richardson. Third pick overall in the draft. Talented guy. He can't get a look. Can't get a look. So they're not on this. We're talking about now, Hakeem Nicks banged up. Wes Welker banged up. Trent Richardson, that dude's healthy. Like, healthy, healthy.
Right.
No one's calling him. So those are the kind of things that you got to think about. When you're out on the street, there's all sorts of reasons why you're out there. And you know, fans want to know why. The players themselves want to know why, but the game is like it really moves. It's constantly in motion. When you fall off the wagon and you're like looking, the wagon keeps moving. It's not like if you're on a big giant cruise ship, you're having a good time and it's great. You fall off the ship, they do not stop the ship. Ship keeps going. You're like, man, I'm in the ocean. Look at that thing go.
It is out of here.
That's what the league is like. You know, if you fall off the ship and you don't hit the water, they might bring you back. But if you fall off the ship, ship's gone, man. You're not on that bad boy anymore, man. It happens quick. Ship gets away from you. When you first hit the water, it's like a big ship. When you turn around and take a couple strokes, it's a smaller ship. The smaller the ship gets, the further you get away from the game. That's what's happening to a lot of these guys. Fans don't see that, but the players that are in the league, they know what it is.
Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York for a free play today. Howard, let's hit a couple of Twitters up. You really got me with that one.
That's a true statement. Think about that.
I just never heard it compared to a ship.
That's
before.
What it's like.
A ship in the ocean. Holy smokes. All right, now somebody's got to throw me a lifeline. we have Yahweh Tweets. That's a very difficult name or handle to pronounce. He says he forgot all about Knicks. Well, it looks like most of the NFL teams have forgotten
like
about
I said,
him, too.
He's out there and just throw me a lifeline. Hit me with something. The boat's moving, baby.
We've got guys. Rob Hines Jr. says Marcus Kuhn gets pushed back a lot off the line. He has trouble with his line of defense up front.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Nicholas Menga says, forget Wes Welker. Giants should have kept James Jones. I mean, look, there are all kinds of debates about personnel.
Let's do James Jones for you. James Jones showed what James Jones was going to be when he was with the Giants. He just has Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
Makes
like,
a difference.
It's a big difference.
He knows that Packer system.
I know the Packer system. Aaron Rodgers putting it on your left shoulder, your right shoulder, on your hip. He wasn't while he was here, hopefully not to be mean to James Jones at all, he didn't appear to be as interested as making those plays and trying to prove himself because he's like, well, I'm a proven commodity. So he didn't want to play with the backups. He wanted to be in the first group. And, you know, that's not what they want to see. They want to see you trying to make it the whole time.
Joe Cherney wants us to remind folks that Matt Lacoste, the tight end, was re-signed to the practice squad yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Taylor also came back to the practice squad yesterday. Yes, that's
yes.
true. That was yesterday. We wanted to give you today's news, but we'll throw that out there for you as a reminder.
Okay.
We also have Kunal says, no new house in the middle. He says Eli doesn't do well with pressure up the middle.
No one does well with pressure up the middle. I mean, hopefully, like I said, hopefully when Beattie comes back, they'll figure it out. But if everything's working, you got to stay with it. The thing that I'm worried about is Schwartz, that ankle coming back off of that injury from last year. Not what you think. It's a lot worse than people thought it was last year. So now he's trying to play on it, and maybe he's tweaking it. Maybe it's getting tired. It's a lot to think about.
All right, and we have Javon Armstrong, who directs this one to me, Howard. She wants to know, we're halfway through the season, would you still have taken Brandon Scherff over Flowers, knowing that I was really a Scherff guy going into the draft?
Brandon Scherff? Where's he playing?
He's with the Skins. He's playing guard right now.
How's he doing?
He's had some injuries, and quite frankly, I think that entire Redskins line's been a disappointment.
Oh, so Scherff's not doing that well, right?
That's
why Paul's not GM.
Yeah. You know, to answer your question fully, Javon, I will tell you flat out, and I'm certainly eating some words here. My thoughts on Flowers, I thought the Giants needed a tackle who would be able to come in, step in, and play immediately. From what I heard about Flowers, he'd only played 2.5 years at Miami, so he was relatively raw and inexperienced.
Okay.
And there was a question about how long it would take him to be coached up to be able to play. And I figured, hey, Scherff had played. He was a fifth-year college player.
Okay.
He had actually had a redshirt year.
Okay, okay.
So he had much more experience.
That's how you look
He
at.
Was supposed to be a plug-and-play guy.
Okay.
Flowers was going to need time. So I thought for that reason, first of all, Scherff would have been a better pick.
Okay.
I love the Iowa pedigree of offensive linemen.
Okay.
They're usually pretty darn good. There's been a bunch of them in the league.
All right.
I thought that was in his favor. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was that Flowers, at times in his senior season, he had a scope in his knee,
mm-hmm.
and at times it looked like you know, he wasn't on par enough at times. He looked a little slow, looked a little sluggish, looked a little sloppy with his technique. And Scherff was much more technique-oriented than Flowers was.
Okay.
Again, something I thought would help Scherff be better pick for the Giants.
So let me say it the way I looked at it. And so, you know, that's what the guys on ESPN, that's what the, you know, the what's his name?
Well, Howard, to be fair, give me a chance, you know.
Okay.
To be fair,
okay.
I made calls to Iowa.
Okay.
I talked to one of their assistant coaches.
Okay.
I also talked to their radio guy who saw him a lot, and I wanted his impression as well.
Okay.
And I also talked to their radio analyst who had been a former NFL offensive lineman.
Okay.
So I did a lot of research on Scherff to find out what was going down.
You basically called someone to ask them about their child.
They're going to give you more positive than negative. No question.
This is how I looked at it. No offense to Mel Kiper and all those guys. This is how I looked at it. I looked at a guy who played 2 years in college, which means he had less wear and tear on the body than a guy who had played 5 years in college. I looked at a guy who had the way they explained him, he had a mean streak. He played hard. He played tough. He was a tough-nosed, hard-nosed guy. I said that's what the team needs, not necessarily what this other kid does. They're like, oh, this other kid, he's flawless. I'm like, great. This kid is like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", big kid. The other kid, you know, not as big. I figured, take the bigger kid with the mean streak. Play with the mean streak and forget about the technique right away. The mean streak will, you know, be contagious. That's how I viewed it when they were talking about it. Less wear on the body, tough guy, wants to play. Not that the other guy wasn't a good player, not tough, just what it is. 5 years in college, you know, that's 4 years of playing. That's 4 years of actually playing and 5 years of actually practicing. And they still practice in college, not like they do in the NFL. They still have hitting, you know, hitting every day. And you can go bigs on bigs in college because you have 100 kids there practicing.
Yes.
So you got to take that in consideration, you know, when you're standing, you're talking about it. And you can't call there. And call somebody that played against them and find out. Never call the team. Because the team always tries to sell the kid.
Well, Javon, here's what I will tell you. Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese and Mark Ross all admitted that they had Scherff as the number one lineman on their board, as he was mine. So all four of us would have picked Scherff. At the moment, I think all four of us are happy the Giants got Flowers.
Well, I'm just saying.
So Howard should be the GM and the personnel guy because
not me.
I agreed with the Giants people, and I guess we wound up making a mistake.
Well, I just like I said again, it's just certain guys you can see who are, when you're watching, you watch tape, you watch the attitude that they're playing with, that's kind of what you have to see. It's hard to go in and call a team. If you call Coach Saban today, Coach Saban is going to talk great about all of his players.
Yeah.
Are all of his players great players? Not necessarily, but he loves them. He recruits them. It's kind of hard, like when remember when Spurrier spoke poorly of a Jadeveon Clowney, and then the entire college world was like, how could he not support Jadeveon Clowney? How's he ever going to get another recruit? How's he going to? And they went after Coach Spurrier for saying a few disparaging words about Clowney. Then all of a sudden, Spurrier changed his tone, and Clowney's the greatest. We're so fortunate to have this guy on our team. If he hadn't come here, where would we have been? And then he gets to the league, and it's the guy that Coach Spurrier talked about.
Right.
So, you know, they know. It's just how are you going to be perceived doing it?
All right, 201-939-4513. So, Javon, thanks for instigating that very interesting conversation. And Andrew from Stanhope, you're next on the show. Hello.
Yeah, I think long-term Flowers will be better. And I see that, you know, your point was good, but I think ultimately he'll be the more dominant long-term.
It looks right now like that's going to be the case.
Yep.
And I admit to Howard, I'm the one that called him Darth Vader. But that was a compliment. I love seeing you play, and I love seeing a big guy like you in the open field. It was so much more exciting than a little wide receiver.
Oh, thank you.
You just reminded me, like, your stature and your, you know, physical toughness of Darth Vader. Like, he was bigger than everyone, and he, like, had the presence.
I like Darth Vader.
It was definitely a compliment. And at the end of the call, I'm going to throw out a couple of players if you want to comment that you played with, because we talked about Giant players that were underrated, and Paul picked you as being one of the most underrated. And I picked Mark Collins and Keith Hamilton and even Amani Toomer, like they never made the Pro Bowl. And Mark Collins, I think you played with him. He shut down Jerry Rice other than the first time he played against him as a rookie when the two defensive backs smashed into each other.
But I'd like to throw Perry Williams into that hat. I thought he was an underrated corner also.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They dominated. He covered Jerry Rice sometimes. Even when there wasn't a great pass rush. But I'll let you comment when I hang up. And Keith Hamilton, he never made the Pro Bowl. He was a great all-around guy. But Reuben Randall, he just seems like, I don't know, something psychologically is wrong with him. That last pass, he didn't fully seem like he tried. And I watched the second half, and I listened to the first half on radio, and the announcer said that there was a play that could have been intercepted, and he didn't really fight to break that up. And I saw last year there was an interception, and he just kind of stood there and looked as it floated a few feet over his head. He didn't try to make a tackle, you know, break it up. And Dez Bryant played Sunday Night Football, and he stopped the pick six. Sherman was ready to pick it off, and it was a clean run to the end zone. But Dez Bryant, even though he's injured, he broke it up. And real quick with the punts, I don't understand why they don't punt when they're at the 50, like near midfield, why the punter doesn't angle it out of bounds. Coughlin said he thought the one before, not the last punt, he was going to punt it. So are they instructed to not punt it out of bounds? But I'll hang up, and if you want to talk about Collins or Keith Hamilton, that'll be exciting, more exciting than Reuben Randall.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
I think you're right. Collins goes down, and Jerry Rice will tell you he was one of the guys he least liked to play against. Jerry says all the time that Mark Collins was all over him all the time. He couldn't stand him. So when you get the best player supposedly to ever play the game, you know, calling your name, that gives you some street cred right there and credit in the game. As for Hamilton, the biggest man on the planet with the skinniest legs, boy, he could play. He was another guy kind of like Flowers, though, that he had that tough, you know, mean, I'm going to do it no matter what attitude, and he really got after it. Still great guy, still got that tough bravado about him, but, you know, sweetheart of a guy. You always saw him with his kids and stuff, loved to watch him, but the person that he was on the field, I was like, man, think of his nickname, the Hammer. I mean, he was a tough, tough guy.
I think Mark Collins, I want to piggyback off Howard's comment. I thought he was the best run support corner I've ever seen in covering the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
He was very physical.
He's a physical guy, but he, you know, had the right coaching. He had the right group of coaches from the Belichicks and the Parcells that, you know, it was a no-nonsense league. You got to remember now. Think about today. Guys catch almost 100 passes in a season. That wasn't happening back then.
No.
That just wasn't happening. So when you played corner, you played corner. Perry Williams, Mark Collins, those guys would come up and hit you, man. You come out there bouncing on the edge thinking that I'm going to lower my shoulder on a cornerback. You could get knocked out. So it was a different kind of game.
All right. I want to bring up Johnny Hedden, who sends us a Twitter remark, Howard, because if he's right, I want his buddies to be able to slap him on the back. He says Giants will somehow take down Pats. Mark my words. That's next week, of course. We're dealing with Tampa. But, Johnny, just so you know, it's out there now. It'll be in the Giants.com archive. You can show your buddies in a couple of weeks.
Let me just deal with Tampa. I'm not going to say anything about Brady, who's coming to town next week. Not a word.
Let's see here. James Tipper says, lose to Romo, Ryan, Bradford, Breeze. Win against Cousins, Taylor, Kaepernick, Castle. There is no mystery here as to who the Giants are. Look, there are a lot of factors that went into the wins and losses the Giants have to get to 4-4, but I won't deny the fact there is a clear line of delineation between the four quarterbacks they've won against and the four quarterbacks they've lost against. To me, Winston is on that lower side of the line, but that's just my opinion right now.
Winston is a rookie, all right? So I don't want people to sit here and say that Winston's a bad quarterback or, you know, we're coming up against a guy that we should do very well against. I don't think he has an interception in his last couple games.
Last three games.
I think he's starting to come into his own. The other players on his team have fallen in line behind him. He is their leader. He is willing to take a bit of a pounding keep fighting under all circumstances. He has a decent receiver core, so you got to get after him. You got to find a way to make him, you know, make him make a mistake. I don't believe sacking the quarterback always does that, but I believe sometimes coverage helps. So they're going to have to play a lot of great coverage this week.
All right, fans, remember Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Here's a really interesting one, Howard, and this will get us both scratching our heads because there's really no right or wrong answer. It's strictly an opinion. But Donald, who is at TAG Rocket on Twitter, says, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, and Jamie Collins, drafting them instead of Flowers, Beckham, and Nassib over the last three drafts, are you a better team? I would probably stick with the three the Giants took, but I would understand the other three guys are all good picks.
Then the other three are who again?
Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, and Jamie Collins.
Aaron Donald.
Donald, the defensive tackle out of Pitt. He's very good.
Okay, and Jamie Collins.
Yep, and Gurley. I think the Giants are happy with the three they got, but that's not a bad group of three players.
You got to remember now, think about put those three players with the quarterback that you have. Okay, because when you're trying to build your team, you're building your team around your quarterback. If you're not building around your quarterback, you usually don't win championships. All right, so Gurley, okay, he's good, but if you don't have the big blocker in front of him, that's the problem. And I like Gurley. I think Gurley's a fascinating, fun player. But let's say you have Gurley in the game, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody there to block for him. He doesn't start the first four games of the season, the first three games of the season. How long will it be before he gets banged up? I mean, you got to think that way.
I think what's happened here is that the Twitter person is enthused by the fact that Collins and Donald each have 4.5 sacks already so far this season, and he's probably saying, well, Giants need pass rush. Wouldn't you have rather had the pass rushers? But these are different position players we're talking about. Not that the three players you picked are bad, because all three players he picked are good
phenomenal
players.
Phenomenal players.
But I probably would take the three the Giants had, even though Nassib doesn't see the field.
Well, Nassib, you know, would be the one guy you would try to budget, but I just don't think that you can't give up the tackle.
Yeah. I agree, and quite frankly, we've all talked about how historic Beckham's rookie season was. Yeah. And oh, by the way, he's having a pretty good year this year too.
Beckham, you know, if you would have said Beckham or Zach Martin and then go three other players, then it's kind of a switch. You can't switch out what you got to have the guy to protect Eli. But then you got to get a receiver to come in because who knew?
Right, exactly. All right, let's go back to, let's see, more Twitters here because I know we actually got a bunch more of those than we do phone calls. Let's see here. We have Jamie Gastulum Acost. I really don't know how to pronounce this full name.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, really. Says here, Eli versus Peyton in the Super Bowl. Right now, at least half of the league wishes Eli was their quarterback. And this, by the way, is a tweet from Mexico. So, hola to you. I don't know that it's going to be a Peyton-Eli Super Bowl at the end of the year based on what we've seen from these two teams so far this season. But I do agree with you that for all of Eli Manning's critics, I think there are a lot of teams that wish they had him.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people criticize Eli, but the two Super Bowls, playing through, you know, tough moments without players being in front of you sometimes. You know, guys that are in front of you are half men because, God bless, they had a hip surgery, they had a knee surgery, they're coming off of something, and they're out there fighting for you, trying to help you, but they can't protect themselves, no less protect you. He had a couple, two or three years where things weren't good for him, but he hung in there, he fought through it, and he didn't complain when guys were saying, you're throwing more interceptions than anybody in the league. He's also being hit more than anybody in the league, and he played in every game. You can't make this up. The guy, he turned out to be a great player. Much better than I thought he was going to be.
By the way, Nicholas Manga does hit us up a lot on Twitter during the show, but we try to reduce the mentions to one a show. I got to give him another mention, though, because he says, I am all in on Howard being the GM. I you know.
Ooh-wee.
Just saying.
That's
Mark.
A lot of work. That'd be a lot of calls while I'm sitting in there with you guys talking about me. So, yeah, that's rough.
Oh, that'd be nice to you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sure.
Ben Gruen wants to know, or he mentions to us that Odell Beckham was ranked as the third best wide receiver by a lot of the pundits coming out of the draft last year. How did that turn out? Well, you know what? This was a great draft class last year for wide receivers.
There was a ton of great wide receivers coming out. They all showed up. They all played great, you know, and they're all looking like they're all going to be, you know, Pro Bowlers year in and year out.
Hey, Mike Evans stay healthy. From the Buccaneers, the guy the Giants play Sunday.
Yeah, but I think he's hurt, thank goodness. Hopefully he stays hurt.
Vincent Jackson's the one who's got the knee.
Dang it. Okay.
Sorry. But you know what? Both of those guys are dangerous.
Yes, both guys are dangerous. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
All right, let's see if we have another one here. We have NYG at Real Flight says, Giants scored 49 points in a game and lost. I don't know what his comment is other than you hate to do that. But you know what? I think one thing that I thought that the players gained from that, Howard, and again, I know it's a silver lining thing and nobody wants moral victories and all that other stuff, but they showed that their offense, even without Victor Cruz and even with a banged-up Randall and Dwayne Harris, who was in and out of the lineup because he got nicked up during the game and still came back into the game, they showed that they're capable of getting to a track meet against anybody offensively.
I think that they enjoyed getting into a track meet from an offensive standpoint and scoring points. I think defensively that's where the question lies. And, again, one of the either texter or caller said earlier, our emailer or Twitter guy said, hey, look, we're facing better quarterbacks. When we face the better quarterbacks, we have a little bit of harder time. Yes, we do. If you're not getting pressure on a quarterback, you will have a harder time. So the guys you're not going to face that are going to be great, you should do better against them. So later on in the season, you got one more Tom Brady. That's going to be a tough game.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
In 2 weeks. But then after that, who do you got?
Bye week.
Yeah, but the next.
Washington, Jets, and Miami, the next three.
Yeah, so, but, you know, until you get to, like, Cam Newton, who's a threat under a lot of circumstances, you don't really care about the Miami quarterback. I like the guy, you know, got Dan Campbell down there calling the shots.
Tannehill has been, I think, a disappointment to a lot of people this year.
He's not really a disappointment. He's an up-and-down guy. Yeah. It's just the team he's on.
Minnesota. Who knows who the Jets are going to have at quarterback? We don't even know.
Well, you know, if we're lucky, they'll bring Geno back. So that's kind of that.
Castle's in Washington.
Yeah, well, again.
Bridgewater in Minnesota.
Bridgewater could be an interesting
and
moment.
And Bradford, if he's still healthy.
Oh, Bradford, we hope that he's healthy that time of year because, again, going down – Outside of Brady, it's not looking like a stellar group of quarterbacks you're facing. And if that's the case and keeping the ball in front of you, making teams methodically go down the field, you got a shot.
Cam Newton's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, but Cam Newton's a different type of quarterback.
He sure is.
Yeah, he's not doing it because he's throwing for like 300 yards in the game. He's doing it because he does everything.
He really is something
and
special.
And he's somebody that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah. I'm going to read this person's Twitter handle because the name that they've attached to it isn't something we'd like to say. This is at this hustle says, I love Howard Cross on BBK. He's awesome.
Well, thank you all. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
201-939-4513 is our phone number. JC in Phoenix. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We can
absolutely
hear you.
All right. I've been trying to call in all week. I didn't get a chance, and I just tuned in, so hopefully I'm not repeating myself. I didn't get to talk so much about the Saints game. I don't hate our defense, and I don't think it's atrocious. Like Drew says all the time, we're atrocious. I think we got a good defense. You know, we have a lot of upside. We're very young, you know, so... But there is a concern here is the – obviously we haven't been able to cover the tight ends. Paul,
yes.
You watch a lot of film. Have we done anything differently to create solutions or, just to better ourselves and give ourselves a chance as far as covering tight ends? Have you seen anything different in the defense or any adjustments?
Well, the big problem that they've had a lot with the tight ends – you have a middle linebacker issue without John Beeson in there. Unga is inexperienced, and it's shown in a lot of cases where he hasn't necessarily been in the proper position. They try Jasper Brinkley some, but he's a run-stopping backer. He really doesn't do very well in space and doesn't have a lot of range. So that was a bit of an issue also last week. Now, there have been times when the tight ends have gotten further down the field where they've hoped that one of the safeties would take it. But either Collins or Merriweather haven't necessarily finished off the play. Maybe they've been in the area, but then they haven't finished the play.
I think this is probably more specific if you think about it like this. The jamming of the tight end at the line of scrimmage is what's going to have to happen to prevent the guy from getting down the middle of the field. We don't really have the linebacker that can cover like that for a full for a full game. Unga would be the closest guy to being able to do that. And, man, I know you love Beeson, but Unga's the guy with the young legs that can run down the field
physically
right. And getting him in the right position and understanding the angle would help him. You could bring Collins down to jam and stop the tight ends. But then you put Merriweather back. You put Merriweather back at the deep spot.
That's
so,
asking a lot out of
him. So the ideal is you're going to have to play coverage and take what you get in the middle. If you know, and hopefully rally to the ball and get the guys down. That's really the only option.
Right. So just two more things here. I'll be quick. So that's my point. We got to do something. We're not going to fix our problem by just keep doing the same thing with Unga, with a 10% Beeson, with Don Casillas, his calf, his neck. You know, we have too many problems there. We got to do something where we maybe do, what Fuel used to do, a three safety look, or maybe second and third downs. I don't know. We got to do something if we're going to stay, in competition, with the next couple of games coming up, and then do something with the pass rush. You know, put Kennard. If you want to line, put Kennard as a defensive end.
JC?
In the meantime, and then put another, safety
JC?
Up there. When second and third downs, got to strategize and do something different. And then the other thing I wanted to
JC,
touch
hold on,
was,
hold on. I just want to make sure
the running game. Man, Rashad Jennings was balling out. He was just, doing good. And there was one point, I think it was in the third or fourth quarter, where they just put Andre in there, Andre Williams, and boom, we went three and out. We had a punt. I wish they would have just let him.
I think what happens with you. I think what's his name again? Hey, JC. So listen, JC.
You know what I mean? Just continue to play him.
JC, unfortunately, we're gonna cut you off. You can't talk over the entire time, JC.
Appreciate
you can't take over the show. What JC is trying to say is like, what's going on in the game? Linebackers are a thing to help JC out. You got the personnel that you have. You can't really rescue it by finding someone on the street. They're looking constantly trying to find somebody and bring someone in, but you got to play with who you have. How do you stop the plays in the middle of the field? Like, my theory is you got to play great coverage and rally to the ball. As far as the running game goes, I think when you're changing personnel constantly, remember that when Williams went into the game, I think Donnelly had already come out of the game. So now you got a whole different dynamic. Don't just look at it from one standpoint and say what you think is happening. You got to be able to watch the entire game and see what's happening. And it's hard a lot of times because as fans, you get excited about what you're looking at without thinking about what's actually going on in the process of a game. I'm not making excuses for them. It is what it is. You got the personnel you have. You've been dealt your cards. Now, as you sit at the table, you got to play with them.
Yeah. I might also add that the lack of pass rush, which has really been something the Giants have fought all season long, that becomes a big problem when there's no push from the front of the pocket and quarterbacks have clear passing lanes to throw over the middle.
It doesn't matter under any circumstance.
That's part of the issue, though, Howard.
Yeah, but if they came up the middle, they could step to the right or step to the left and get rid of the ball. If they're coming around the outside, they step up into the pocket and throw the ball. A pass rush means you're moving a quarterback off of his spot.
Right.
Like, really.
And they're not moving off of their spot very often.
That's right. So, like, don't try to, make it one solitary moment. It's the entire group. They got to find a way. If you send pressure, you've got to be willing to, don't get there.
To gamble.
Yeah. The pressure has to be 100%. It can't be almost like, I'm going to send a blitzer. If he doesn't get there, it may be a touchdown.
Giants only have one sack off of a blitz on their with their defense this year, which does not provide a very good risk reward ratio.
It's not baseball. You can't bat 1,000 times and get a 300 and think it's going to work.
No, that's bad.
No.
One final time, fans, to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. We have three callers left on the line, only about 5 minutes left in the show, so we're going to try to get to those quickly. Jeff from New Hampshire, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
Hi.
Very good.
Just good. Just kind of a quick hypothetical. I know nobody's going to have any inside information. Just kind of wondering roster-wise for next week when we have to activate Jason Pierre-Paul.
He's probably going to be activated Sunday.
Player with how thin we are.
Jeff, he's probably going to be on the field Sunday. So don't worry about next week. Worry about him this week.
Well, I know he's going to play Sunday. I'm just thinking for the 53.
You got to be on the 53.
Just hold on. So he's on the 53 now is what Paul's trying to say.
I thought he was a 54th player.
Right now he's exempted.
He's exempted.
He's going to be playing on Saturday and Sunday, likely against Tampa. Likely. We don't know 100%, but it looks like he's going to be.
And the question will be who's going to step
right.
Right.
Who's going to be.
And you know what? Right now.
Odd man out.
I bet you coach doesn't even know right this very minute because a lot of it's going to be determined by health.
Yep. So if you're banged up and you're limping and you're kind of a fringe guy.
That's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing to be in the league right now. Not on this team.
Quick question before you let you go is I forget with the roster as well. Is Beatty on the 53 or is he still exempt as well?
He's exempt as well for another week.
Yep.
One more week.
So you got two players coming on to the roster and two players stepping off.
Thank you, Jeff. I will say this. They just signed Cunningham because Donnell looks like he's down. If Larry Donnell is okay in the next 48 hours and shows that he's okay and can get on the field, they probably would
they
make that
released,
move.
They release Cunningham.
That probably makes more sense to me.
I don't know. There's a lot of options. There are a lot of players that are, like I said, again, that they're good players, but they're fringe players, and you don't really think about what they're doing in the game and what contributions, quote-unquote, they're making or not making.
Sometimes it's position of need.
They just are special teams guys, and, you know, they don't have a spot. I'll give you one that could be problematic. Orleans Darkwa with that back injury. Good player, has shown some promise, has shown like he could run the ball. He's an incredible special teams player. Don't want it to be him, but again, it could be anyone.
I think he's healthy enough that he'll probably make it. I would even say maybe a corner like McFadden who's been, just added to the roster.
Man, that's tough.
You know, anyway. Mark from Maryland, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Paul and Howard, man? I'm going to make this. I'm going to get to the point. I see Howard down here laughing already. Hey, this is the deal. All right, we already went through preseason. We're in regular season. There's no pressure, like Howard said, that we're putting on the quarterbacks. That's why the quarterbacks are stepping up, getting their passes out and scoring on us. We need to start holding everybody accountable. You know, we're not playing peewee football anymore. This is man football. They're getting paid. They need to step up and get the job done. So, I mean, we need to, you know, that's the way I feel, you know, as far as us going forward.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not sure how old you are or how big you are, but if I made you D tackle or D end right now, could you get to the pass rush? Could you get to the quarterback?
If I came in through, I'm 51.
If I told you today, in preseason,
with a contract to do that, if I'm there to play ball, I'm going to play ball. I'm going to give it 110% every day or more.
I agree, but your 100% may not get you to the quarterback, right? That's what you're playing with.
But
the point of the thing is, that's what we're playing with. Is that I'm big guy, you know, I'd love to be able to play and get after a dude and all that. But if I got in the game right now and if I worked out the entire summer, I'm still not getting to the quarterback.
How do we fix the problem?
It's just you're going to have to get through this season with what you got, looking for guys that maybe you'll find a guy that maybe like the Giants bringing two players back, that somebody might fall out of another team, they're bringing somebody back. And player that falls out, that's the player you got your eye on and you've got earmarked. Hey, you call them. Come in for a workout. Let us look at you. We may want to give you a shot. Again, you got what you got. You got to work with it. I mean, I think the ideal is that as fans, we want to change everything and make players do something that they're not incapable of doing. You are who you are. Unfortunately, That's just it. I wish that there was some other I wish we could get fairy dust to sprinkle on them to make them somebody better.
Yeah, right. You're right. But without a pass rush, that's how Tom was able to score them any points on us.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for the call. Thank you so much. And certainly there's no question that when the Giants came out of the draft, they thought they were going to get double-digit sacks out of JPP this year, and then things went awry there. But the bottom line is
Can I say this about JPP? Because I know everybody keeps saying JPP, 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 JPP. Last year, like, did the Giants have a great record or something?
No, they didn't. But they did have 47 sacks or something.
Yeah, but it didn't really change a huge outcome.
No, they still didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and they gave up a lot of plays. They gave it's just part of it. You can't you're not sprinkling dust on JPP either.
Phil from Southampton, you're the last one on the program. Hello.
Hi, guys. Real quick question. Just want to know your opinion from what you've seen or heard. The two guys I'm interested in are Dakwa and Beedy. Do you think they'll be back on the field within a couple of weeks?
Well, Beedy's exemption runs out after this game, so they've got to figure out what to do with him. Apparently, he's in good health. He has been practicing. So I'd say the green light looks pretty good for him to get back out there.
That's speculation, but yes.
It would appear that way.
And Darkwa had the tailbone injury.
Right.
So.
And, again, I think he's not that bad, but whether or not it's this week or next week, I couldn't tell you.
That
hurts. It hurts.
He wouldn't be sitting where I'm sitting right now. Not without a little cushion.
and Lord knows, I hope he doesn't have to drive too far.
Oh, my Lord, man. I can remember, having to drive to the city and got stuck in traffic on the FDR.
Oh,
that was brutal. It's not a fun injury.
No, it's not good.
It's a weird spot on your body. It's just not a fun injury.
But thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, once again, Bleep Blue Kickoff Live is here Monday to Friday. 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time. We are here for 1 hour. Jot down the number, 201-939-4513. Tomorrow, I believe it's John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegels. This is Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you again next time.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Those intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.